Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TryTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Hot off the presses. Hot off the posting onto the internet. The presses will be tomorrow morning, because we really still do have those things, by the way. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Monsignor. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. What are you talking about, Vinny? Hot off the presses. Yeah, hot off the presses. We got news today, big news. And potentially highly impactful news. The Raiders today, after circling, it was like Josh McDaniels and the Raiders have been circling each other for the last week or so. Josh McDaniel doing his due diligence on the Raiders. Is that something that I want to be a part of? Looking into it. I know I got a couple of calls from the New England area code, or where, you know, Rhode Island, Boston, that area, asking some questions about things here in Las Vegas. Conspicuously. And I think the Raiders have been interested in Josh McDaniels. I know I've gotten texts from people in and around that organization. Keep an eye on Josh McDaniels. I wouldn't rule out Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels would be a perfect friend. And guess what happens today? The Raiders officially ask for permission to speak with New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels for their head coaching position. It looks like that meeting, that interview, is going to happen on Saturday. This follows the interview that the Raiders have already had with Dave Ziegler, the New England Patriots pro personnel director, who is really their general manager. They don't have an official general manager. Some guy named Bill Belichick is kind of in charge of all that. But Dave Ziegler is somebody that Bill Belichick has the utmost respect for, to the point where he expanded his role when Dave Ziegler was a finalist and probably the favorite for the Denver Broncos general manager job last year. So Bill Belichick said, look, I'm going to expand your responsibilities. I want you to stay here. I need you, man. And Dave Ziegler did stay. And he was really given a lot of credit, Dave Ziegler, the potential future general manager of the Raiders. He was given a lot of credit for some of the free agent signings that the Patriots made this year. Remember, they spent a lot of money conspicuously because the Patriots don't normally do that. And he is credited with revamping the way the Patriots looked at the draft. It's been highly successful. So Dave Ziegler, who, by the way, in case you didn't know, was a college football team of Josh McDaniels at John Carroll University, which is a hotbed for coaches, front office types, all of that. It's just like this place that just spawns great football minds. So Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, who went to college together and played football together at John Carroll University, and then when Josh McDaniels was the head coach of the Denver Broncos, guess who he hired and gave his first NFL job to? That's right, his former John Carroll University teammate, Dave Ziegler. You want to know who else was with the Denver Broncos at the time? A guy by the name of Champ Kelly. Who's Champ Kelly, Vinny? Well, if you read my stories on the Las Vegas Review-Journal, VegasNation.com, Vegas Nation, the app, or if you just listen to Raider Nation Radio, me, Q, and everyone else that's here that do such a great job, Champ Kelly interviewed for the Raiders general manager position last week. He is now an assistant in the player personnel department of the Chicago Bears. Very highly thought of. So now you have three ties between Dave Ziegler, Josh McDaniels, Champ Kelly. And the way it's been explained to me by various sources in the NFL, this isn't etched in stone, but it seems to possibly, potentially be headed in this direction. A Josh McDaniels head coach, Dave Ziegler general manager, Champ Kelly potentially assistant general manager of the Raiders as they go about reconfiguring their football department and leadership of their football department and going in a direction that has had success. But Vinny, Josh McDaniels, you know, 2 years with the Denver Broncos. All right, that was more than a decade ago. I'm not excusing it. It didn't work for whatever reason. Maybe it was all Josh McDaniels' fault. We want to put it all on him. Okay, it's all Josh McDaniels' fault. All right? He was completely responsible for the failures with the Denver Broncos. We won't look at anything else. No other element that was going on in that organization, on that roster, in the 2 years that he was there. It was all his fault. You want to put it all on his shoulders? Go for it. But it's 2 years of more than 20 years of otherwise success. And don't give me this baloney. Well, he just had Tom Brady and, you know, da-da-da-da. It doesn't just work like that, all right? Or Josh McDaniels was somebody that Tom Brady always advocated for. When he became available again after what happened in Denver, it was Tom Brady who wanted him back on the sidelines of the Patriots. So did Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick still wants him back. Would love him, for him to stay. He's a highly regarded coach. And I'm going to say this. Today, when I started getting my phone started blowing up about keep an eye on Josh McDaniels, don't discount Josh McDaniels. And when, you know, it officially came out that the Raiders had reached out to Josh McDaniels, I've got multiple texts and calls from people in the NFL. And no other candidate that the Raiders have talked to about head coach elicited this kind of response, which was the Raiders are doing it the right way. If that's the direction that they go in, he's going to be great for them. That's the way to go. The Raiders are going to hit a home run if that's the way they go. So I get it. Raider Nation is focused on what happened in Denver. The situation with the Indianapolis Colts, he left him at the altar. We all know what happened. There's always two sides, probably three sides to every story. So I'm not going to just assume or presume that Josh McDaniel was the culprit, the only culprit in that situation. Something happened, obviously, that soured him on the Indianapolis Colts. It's his life. And if you have ill feelings going into something, and your instincts are saying, hold on, man, I'm not feeling good about this. You know, you owe it to yourself to make the decision that works for yourself. Even if it's going to look bad everywhere else, you have to do you. You have to do what you believe works for yourself. And that's what Josh McDaniel did. I don't know if we'll ever know what the full story was with that. But Josh McDaniel did what he felt was in his best interest. You only live once. And if you want to blame him for that, if you want to put all of that on him, okay, that's fine. And I guarantee you this, when the Raiders sit down with Josh McDaniels, I think they're going to get a pretty good picture of what happened. And if you want an explanation for what happened in Denver, I'm sure that will be talked about as well. And I'm sure if I'm Mark Davis and I'm, you know, doing this interview, you want to, and you've done a lot of this anyway, talking to other people, coworkers, players, you know, whatever homework you've been doing on Josh McDaniels, you want to get the most current picture of him. How has he grown? How has he improved? What did he learn in Denver? What has he learned about himself since the Indianapolis Colts situation? And if the information that you're getting that's coming back to you about both of those situations is satisfactory to you, and then you combine that with a track record that is very impressive, then you create a comfort level where, you know what, it might be his time now to take that step forward again and give it another try. And so that's basically what the Raiders have to do. But it seems to me like they're intrigued. He's intrigued, which I think is a compliment to the Raiders. He's been highly selective in what he pursues, who he listens to, who he agrees to even have a conversation with. DeMond?
Doesn't that just show that maybe, like, okay, it's not you personally, anyone personally, take the best job that you can find. Because no one wants to take a bad job. You end up going to work, you hate it. Or as a
it doesn't
coach,
work.
Yeah, and then you're fired after
which
two
some
years.
Of the, a lot of, you if know, you look you at the Patriots assistant coaches, you know, everyone brings that up. Like, they've been terrible. But a lot of those were bad situations
yeah,
to begin with.
You know, so. Like, obviously Las Vegas, a great place to live. Yeah. Let's say if you don't want to go somewhere that you don't want to live. All these good
all
things.
That.
All that factors into people picking a job that they want to have.
Especially when you're in a position of power, like when you have leverage.
But what I'm saying, but my only point is, we're just play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Why does he get to be so selective? Where it's just like, I know nobody is making anyone take a job.
Right.
You know, there are only 32 of them, so if you have the opportunity, take it. But yeah, I know he's won the Super Bowls, but I feel like it's more of the New England allure than so much as Josh McDaniels is just, oh, he gets to pick and choose what job he wants. Like,
or so maybe he learned some lessons in Denver.
What makes Josh McDaniels so great?
I'm sure there's a lot of dynamics that play into why people think he's great.
Because I'm sure there are other offensive coordinators where you could say, yeah, I think that guy's like, well, I know this is not me trying to do the be enemy thing, but it's just like, oh, he's a better offensive coordinator, or I like the way that this offense is playing. Daboll and Buffalo,
right?
Looks
but
like
you're looking
their
at
offense
and,
is like
and,
is better than him.
If you're
so
asked,
it's just one of those things where you're picking like all 32 offensive coordinators. What makes Josh McDaniel the best one that he can just say pick and choose what job he wants?
Off the top of my head, teaching, communication, eye for talent, you know, all of those things kind of come into play. But also if you're Josh McDaniels and there was a sour situation that occurred in your career, and obviously the Denver Broncos didn't work out for various reasons, you're going to be more selective. You're going to say, man, you know what? I have to really do my homework. And trust me when I say, at this level, coaches are doing their homework as well. Not everybody's going to be interested in every situation. You don't have to if you have, a strong resume and if you're well thought of. And he is well thought of. This wouldn't be like if Josh McDaniels' agent said, Josh McDaniels is open for business, he would be interested in any of these openings. Every single team on that list, whether they're eight teams, would sit down to talk to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I'm sure if he wanted it, the Houston Texans would roll out the red carpet.
Yes. Or even the Minnesota Vikings or the Miami Dolphins. Like, they would be interested
in sitting down. Because they're like the worst. They're like probably the worst team out of the bunch besides
Houston,
Jacksonville.
Yeah, but I would think that if I'm the Vikings, I'd be interested. I mean,
I'm not saying he's not a good candidate,
It
just sounds like he's just, I pick what
he's. But he's not the only one.
He's young enough, he's 45 years old, so he's not like his coaching career is going to be over soon. But it's just like, is he just going to wait till a Super Bowl contender head coach just like, I'm done, and then he's like, oh, that's the job I want.
I think for him, I'll answer the question for you right now. I think for him, he probably has a good feeling like, if I ride this out with the Patriots, I'm going to be the head coach of the Patriots until something better might come along. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's in that kind of position where remember the Georgia coach was with Alabama, right? All those years.
Kirby Smart.
And he was the head coach in waiting, wasn't he? With Saban.
DC,
and
yep.
Saban, you know, drank from the fountain of youth and is deciding he's going to coach forever. And you know, all of a sudden, a great job. I mean, let's face it, Georgia's a pretty dang good job. You're in a great recruiting hotbed. You're in the SEC. You're a national champion now, so that he saw the potential there. So I think that when you've gone through something bad and understand that not everything – not all grass
every job
is greener.
Is a good job.
Exactly, and that's the truth of the matter. A lot of it is such organizational, and and also he learned. So I'm sure that drives some of the selectiveness that he has, and plus probably some assurances that he might be the next head coach of the Patriots.
Well, no, I'm glad you said that, because no, that puts it into perspective for me.
Right.
That if he's saying it's got to be the most perfect job, because I'm not saying like he's thinking like that, and not trying to put words in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's thinking, hey, if I don't think it's good, I could just ride this out and maybe Bill leaves and I get the keys here.
Exactly.
If that's what he's thinking, I get it.
Yeah.
I guess.
Unless something more immediate and better that he feels like he can grow with and really make his mark. We should go find out when, how old was Belichick when he got his head coaching job? And, you know, he had to go through some learning experiences himself, even though he did have success with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider 27 is on the line. How you doing, Raider 27?
Hey, I'm doing really good, man. I think the thing that scares me about this the most is how the media and you and Q and everybody, when I speak of media, I only listen to RNR 920. Hello?
Yes, I got you.
Okay. So it's like everybody's trying to push Josh McCown as an okay alternative when, you know, we're sitting there looking at the numbers, and it's like the Bill Belichick coaching tree is not very good. And when you look at Bill Belichick's win and loss record without Tom Brady, he's just over 500. So it's like, man, I don't know, man. I've been happier with Dobbs than anybody else.
I'm still not ruling out Dobbs. You know, I'm not. You know, Dobbs was part of the pursuit of Josh McDaniels when they were in when he was in Indianapolis. You know, he was part of that front office that chased Josh McDaniels, and maybe he knows what the true story is too. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is,
right?
So, and he's not. Let's say, you know, and it is kind of conspicuous that Josh's name comes up right now, the day after Ed Dodds, you know, interviewed for the job. So that could go in a couple of different directions. And you know, again, you can't – there's three sides to every story. And I think usually people know what happened, you know. And sometimes there's valid reasons. And they're human beings at these positions. You know, do people get emotional? Is there competitiveness? Of course. But if you know what happened and the reasons are valid, there's no, you know, sense in being, you know, holding a grudge all these years because he left you at the altar, especially if you know what the facts are, like the true reason why he did that. You understand what I'm saying? So that would actually be a good look. If Dodds gets the general manager's job, and maybe he's the one that really pushed yesterday when he talked to the Raiders about, hey, you really need to go look at Josh McDaniels, that's probably a good sign that whatever happened in Indianapolis, you know, was understandable to the key people that were involved. And so that's, you know, one way of looking at it. But yeah, I mean, could you look at all the Patriots coaches that haven't had success? Certainly. You know, I mean, Brian Daboll was an assistant coach with the Patriots and you know, with Alabama with Nick Saban. And now he's, you know, if you want to talk about coaching trees, Nick Saban is part of the Belichick coaching tree. Guess who hired him to be his defensive coordinator in Cleveland when they were with the Browns together? A guy by the name of Nick Saban. I mean, if you're gonna talk about coaching trees, you have to mention that. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, Nick, you mentioned it earlier, but Nick Saban was 40 when he first got the Cleveland job.
Okay, so right. So
Josh McDaniels is 45 now.
Right,
but he was 33, I think. When he got that,
little bit of a difference. But Saban, like I'm saying, and Saban was, you're talking about what job
Bill
was
Belichick?
That?
No, Bill Belichick when he first got the Cleveland job
was 40 years old, working with Parcells. He had worked with Parcells. So like we all talk about the failures of the Brian or the Coach Belichick coaching tree, but we always forget that Saban was a huge part of that. Go back and look at who he worked for. It was a guy by the name of Bill Belichick with the Cleveland Browns. We only think of him with the New England Patriots. There was another part of his career. So I'm just saying, back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Freddie is on the line. How you doing, Freddie? Raider Mike is on the line. How you doing, Raider Mike?
What's up, Paizan?
How are you, brother?
Anyway, I'm a hatred of the Cheatriots. It runs deep. I mean, the Tuck Rule, I have another name for it. It's just...
Can't look at things emotionally.
I know.
You can't. You can't look at things as a fan.
Talking the good part. Bringing Ziegler. I mean, the Patriot way actually used to be the Raider way. So it's pretty much the same thing. I just question his drafting.
Who's?
Prowess, Ziegler's.
He had a great draft this year.
Well, this year. But the past 2-3 years, no.
No, I think he was given the keys this year. That's why I think he's really vaulted.
Oh, okay. That's why.
And plus, don't forget what he did in Seattle. He was a big part of the Seattle Seahawks success. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Denver Broncos.
And we need a better play caller. Olsen ain't cutting the mustard. It's just He's old school. We need to move into the next millennium. So I have no problem with McDaniel doing that. And you pull – you were saying Chip Kelly?
No, Champ Kelly as the assistant general manager. Chip? No, no, no.
I wouldn't mind Chip Kelly.
Chip?
Turning the, you know, the old school Ducks offense.
No. Yeah. No. You don't want that. Trust me, you don't want that. That would be a match not made.
That's more of a joke than anything.
Okay.
Anyway, but
I'm laughing. Dobbs,
I like Dobbs a lot, too.
It's Dobbs, yeah.
I like what's a lot on the table. I even like Hunt out of the Steelers. So I think we're doing it exactly right. We're going to come out with the best potion. I just like to see us keep Bradley and Rich as special teams because they have the ear of the team. And then mix that into a big, beautiful black and silver brew.
I'm hearing that Josh McDaniels is already kind of reaching out, on assistance. Wink Martindale, the former Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, I'd love to have him too.
That's somebody that I've heard. Don't be surprised if that happens, where he comes in as a defensive coordinator. So, I would say this: Josh McDaniels isn't going anywhere to fail again. All right, he is going to be part. He wants to be part of something that is going to take his legacy to a next level. And to do that, you need to surround yourself with great coaches. You need to be a part of a good organization. And when you're talking about organization, who's supplying you the talent, who is out there securing that talent and scouring the country for that talent, it takes an organization. And that's what I really like about what the Raiders are doing right now. And you know, even after everything happened with John Gruden, you know, I would touch base with people, I know in the NFL, and just kind of saying, hey, if you were Mark Davis, what would you do? Like, what would your direction be? And one of the things that kept coming back was exactly what it appears the Raiders are doing, and that's building a solid foundation in the organization, where I think it almost looks like, you know, you can, a guy moves, if somebody moves on, you have somebody in the building that you've been grooming and that's been learning and doing a great job that gets elevated. That's thinking way down the line, but I think they're thinking along those types of line, putting together a combination of people, an organization of great thinkers, good minds, people that, where there's synergy and chemistry. You know, when you think about, and not to say that this wasn't working, but when you think about John Gruden and Mike Mayock, they had never worked together one day in their lives. Not aside from maybe, you know, one guy was on channel, was on ESPN, the other guy was on NFL Network simultaneously during the draft, right? But they hadn't ever worked together. It was a leap of faith that was going to work, and to some extent it did. But I think what the Raiders have in their power right now to do is create a tandem, a nucleus, you know, a foundation of decision makers that are going to collaborate, but the connections between them, and that's what strengthens things. It's not just one person. It's a combination of thinking and ideas and ways and eyeballs and all of that type of stuff. That's what how you build a great organization. It never is just one person, ever, 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 ever. And so I think that that's kind of what they're striving for. And we'll see, you know, we'll see if it all works. But I would, if I'm Raider Nation, I would take into account what happened in Denver. I would look at it. It would be part of the process of assessment, but I wouldn't hang everything on that. It was 2 years, and there's a lot that goes into success and failure that isn't solely the responsibility of one person in an entire organization. And so look at it, think about it, ask him about it, get an explanation about it, or what his thoughts about it were. Ask him, have you grown since then? What were the mistakes that you made, and the organization as well? How would you fix it? How would you do it differently? You of course, you're going to ask all those questions, but to just assume that he is the exact same person that he was in, what, 2009, 2010, today, I think is presumption at the highest level. Nobody stays the same, not at this level. You learn, you grow. That's what you're asking your players to do. the people that you coach. If you can't do that yourself, then the world's going to pass you up. And the world hasn't passed Josh McDaniels up. He's continued to succeed in his role with the Patriots, and players still like playing for him, including a Tom Brady. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, who will be back with us tomorrow. Brought to you by Tequila and Bajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m.
Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Raider Mike is on the line. How you doing, Raider Mike? Raider Mike, do we got you? All right, let's go to Charles in Kentucky.
Charles, hey, Vinny, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Charles. How you doing?
Hey, I wanted to point out something that one caller said ahead of me. One of the reasons I called. Just for the record, Bill O'Brien was a good coach, terrible general manager, but
right.
He's a really good coach.
Yes.
They actually won that division. And Mike Vrabel, if I'm mistaken, just was the number one seed out of Belichick. And I thought Brian Flores was a heck of a coach. So I can't say that all of Belichick's disciples have been bad. And the other thing, give me a history lesson real quick, Vinny. Did Josh McDaniels not win a playoff game with a scrubby Denver team?
He did not. Or, no, he was
a different coach.
Yeah, that was John Fox by the time that came around.
Okay.
Yeah.
With Tim Tebow, that was John Fox?
Yes, exactly. They had to completely redo the offense. By the way, I'm just saying, if you're gonna give Bill Belichick grief for the coaches that didn't work out, he did hire Nick Saban as his defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns back in the early 1990s, and that was really his launching point to go to, I think, Michigan State after that. So, and then obviously Nick Saban has had tremendous success. So you can't just pick and choose. He did hire a young assistant coach by the name of Nick Saban as his defensive coordinator. And they did special things with the Cleveland Browns. They went to the playoffs, in Cleveland during that time. So just throwing that out there. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation guest line and welcome in a good friend of mine who also happens to cover the Raiders for The Athletic. My former employer, The Athletic. And, of course, we're talking about Vic Tafer from The Athletic. Vic, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good, man. How are you doing?
Well, you know, we probably could both look at each other and go, you know how it's going right now. So let's just leave it at that, because it's been crazy. It's been nuts, especially these last 24 hours or so. But I want to ask you, Vic, the Raiders now have officially requested permission to talk to Josh McDaniels, the New England Patriots offensive coordinator. My belief is they're not going to go down that route unless they have some sort of assurances that there's some reciprocation in the feelings for each other. But what do you think about all that? Do you feel like this is genuine on both sides?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I wrote the other day that I thought that McDaniels was no longer the front runner, but I definitely think he and Dave Ziegler, the GM candidate, are definitely a package deal. So I think definitely obviously mutual interest on both sides. I think there's still a lot of questions to be asked and answered. So I know a lot of national guys are thinking it's a done deal and everyone's pumping up McDaniels as the guy, but I'd wait. I don't think Mark Davis has made a decision quite yet.
I don't think so as well. But if you're, I'm gonna let you be Mark Davis here, Vic. And you're sitting down with Josh McDaniels. What are the first two questions that you want to ask him in terms of just what are the first two? What would be the first two questions you would ask him? What do you need to know?
Well, the first one would be what happened with the Colts. I mean, he left them at the altar, so I don't want to hear from him exactly. You know what his, I don't know if it's an excuse or reason was for doing that, or what happened at the last second there. I think that's a big one. And then also, I can go back to when he was head coach at the Broncos. Or what do you think went wrong there? He's looking for a second chance. What do you think you learned from the first chance?
All right. And what do you – I mean, is there like a satisfactory – I kind of think that there's three sides to that Indianapolis Colts story. And I think the people that know. And I don't think that it's going to maybe prevent him from getting another job. But we'll see. Is there anything that you want to hear from him that explains away what happened in Indianapolis?
No, just as long as it's irrational. You know what I mean? I'm sure, like you said, there's different sides to every story. The Colts have one side. I'm sure Mark's heard that side. So I think he wants to hear what Jack has to say. But I think that's a huge deal. But I think it's definitely something you have to hear for yourself as far as, because when you hire someone, you're looking at, you know, the body of work, plus his character, his personality, if it's a match. So I would think, if it was me, I'd want to know what happened, you know, from the horse's own mouth.
All right, so when we look at Josh McDaniels, Vic, how much credence should we, how much weight should we put in the 2 years in Denver and maybe what happened in Indianapolis versus all the work that he's put in with the New England Patriots?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, Bill Belichick runs everything there and he gets him all the credit pretty much, and I think for good reason. So a lot of people who've left him in the past, a lot of his disciples in the past have not done well despite being a board for all the wins and all the rings. So I think you give these guys a chance. I think that McDaniels is well thought of, especially as a quarterback kind of guru. So that's exciting. I think you definitely look at his six rings and there's a wealth of knowledge. Both these guys have a lot of rings. So I think you're excited about it, but you can't really be positive that you're making the right call because, again, Belichick oversees everything in New England.
If you're Derek Carr, and we heard David Carr, his brother, go on, I think it was a Colin Cowherd show, and talk about, you know, he needs to see some, basically the gist being, I don't want any part of any kind of a rebuild. I want something that I'm going to feel comfortable with moving forward before, you know, I decide to go start looking for another ring to stay here in Las Vegas. If it's Josh McDaniels, how do you feel Derek Carr and his group feels about the possibility of that?
Well, you know, Mike Silver just tweeted out that he talked to those guys, and I guess they're both, McDaniels and Silver, are high on Derek Carr. I don't know if that's just, you know, a polite talk right now, but I would think you look at McDaniels' record with quarterbacks, it's pretty good. So I think if you are Derek Carr, you might be excited about that. And again, it's all about, I mean, is it a rebuild? I don't think it's really a rebuild. I think it's hiring kind of a new guy to drive the ship. But, yeah, I think Derek Carr, the main thing would be, yes, for me, it's not just a question of, is Derek Carr the guy next year? Will he come back? Because it's, you know, there's so much money attached to it. You can't even bring him back for 1 year. You got to give him a new deal. So that's where it really comes into play, is how much do you want Derek Carr back and for how long?
We're talking to Vic Tafur from The Athletic. You could follow him at Vic Tafur, T-A-F-U-R. All right, Vic, I'm with you. I'm not putting all the apples into the Josh McDaniels cart. I think that the Raiders have done their due diligence and they've taken a look around. That includes Rich Bisaccia. We keep hearing the name Jim Harbaugh hovering out there. What are we to make, A, of the Jim Harbaugh talk?
Yeah, I don't think it's anything. Man, I could be wrong, but I think it's just a bunch of noise. I think it would have happened. It would happen by now, I think. I think Jim's waiting to sign a new contract. He's got coaches on the recruiting trail. So I think if this really was a serious mutual thing, I think it would happen before now, and I haven't heard anything from, you know, the Raiders side. All the noise comes from, in my mind, all the noise comes from Michigan, not from Nevada.
Yeah, it always seemed a little bit one-sided as far as that all went. Okay, so what about Rich Bisaccia?
You know what? I think he still has a shot. I mean, I don't really know what the odds are. I think I know the coaching staff is waiting, and every day they're kind of in anguish, I guess, because it must be very stressful to think about, you know, what could happen here. But I think the interview went well with Mark Davis. I think Mark likes a lot of things he brought. And obviously, if you have a coach, you know, they made the playoffs twice in 19 years, so it's kind of weird that they're not going to bring that coach back. But I get it. I mean, there's obviously bigger issues with the interim guy. You're not sure what you're really getting. But I think he still has a shot. I don't really know what the odds are, but I don't think he's dead yet.
Vic, how big of a year was this for the Raiders, you know, overcoming what they overcame to win 10 games, to get to the playoffs, to kind of further cement or plant their roots here in Las Vegas? But how big was the year that that we all just covered?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, obviously, it was sad. I mean, the Ruggs tragedy is something I'll never get over. I'm sure you as well. I just, in terms of football, they were able to bounce back. They won. Everyone thought they were out of it, and they won four in a row. Made the playoffs, which is always cool to go to a playoff game. It's been a while. Actually, that game was close. They could have won that game, which, I mean, you know, we saw the Bengals, you know, win again, and the Bengals are still playing, so who knows what happens. But, yeah, football's a funny thing. But I think we mentioned the leadership. The leadership was huge. Derek Carr and Ngakoue, Max Crosby, definitely the leaders in that team. Did a real nice job of keeping the guys on the straight path.
All right, last question, Vic Tafur. Who's going to be the head coach of the Raiders this time next week?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I mean, I got nothing for you. I would have I would have said not McDaniels if you asked me yesterday. I definitely not him.
Things change in 24 hours.
I have to hedge in that one a little bit. So I really don't know. I think Mark's done a good job of interviewing a bunch of people. He's hard to predict, as you know. I think, you know, with so many candidates, you don't know what's going to happen. Money will be a factor at some point, I'm sure, compensation, how long you want to sign these guys for. So I hate to be a cop-out, but I have no idea.
Yeah, sometimes in the course of 24 hours, adding another zero can sometimes help things along a little bit. Not saying that they're going to just open the books for Josh McDaniels, but like you said, money at some point is going to come into the equation. We'll see how that all turns out. Vic Tafer, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Truly appreciate it. Keep doing the great work that you're doing over at The Athletic, and I'll see you down the road. Maybe at the Super Bowl. We'll see you down the road.
All right, bud. Take care.
You too. That's Vic Tafer from The Athletic, shedding some light on the situation. And Vic is as honest as they come. I know that. And you know what? Who knows where this is all headed? But I think that there's some steam with this Josh McDaniels situation that just broke just before we came on the air today. And it's pretty exciting stuff. I think if you're a Raider fan, yes, there's some questions that the Raiders have to get over with Josh McDaniels, but I think by and large this is somebody that is very coveted around the NFL. And to me, if the Raiders walk out of the situation with, as Vic said, a combination of Dave Ziegler, Josh McDaniels, and whoever else they bring along, to me, that's a coup. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m. on a Thursday.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Our thanks again to the great reporter Vic Tafer from The Athletic for joining us and spending some time with us in the huddle. Lots going on with the Raiders. And I have a feeling this is all headed to a conclusion. I think a conclusion is imminent, I would say, by this time next week. That is my guess, maybe even, you know, earlier in the week. We will see what happens, though, on Saturday when Josh McDaniels meets with Mark Davis. I'd love to be a fly on that wall, but I think all the appropriate questions are going to be asked about what happened in Indianapolis. And you would figure that at this point, Mark Davis probably has a pretty good idea after talking with Ed Dodds, the assistant general manager of the Colts, who was there when it all went down and has interviewed with the Raiders for their head coaching job. I'm just going to assume that that came up because, of course, whoever you're talking to about, you know, in terms of the general manager's job, you're going to ask them also about their ideas on a head coach. So I would assume, since that interview was yesterday with Dodds and the Raiders, Josh McDaniels' name came up. It would almost have to. And if Ed Dodd said, no way, stay away from this guy, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole, I'm not saying that Mark Davis wouldn't have still made this call to seek permission to talk to Josh McDaniels, but he'd probably have a little bit of pause in doing so. So you would think that Dodds gave a, you know, positive thumbs up on that. And he was there in Indianapolis and probably knows exactly what happened. So I think that's a fairly good news. Like, if you're a Raiders fan and you're truly worried about what happened with the Colts, and I don't think that, I mean, were there frayed feelings? I'm sure. But don't forget, Bill Belichick literally left the New York Jets and Bill Parcells hanging. There was a press conference to announce Bill Belichick as the coach of the New York Jets to succeed Bill Parcells, and as they were having the press conference, if I remember correctly, I think this is kind of how it worked. Where's Bill? Bill's on his way to New England to become the New England Patriots head coach. He left them at the altar, something along those lines. But so it happens, okay? And I'm not condoning it. I'm not, exonerating anybody, but there's all sorts of different sides to every story. And at the end of the day, Bill Belichick spurning the Jets for the Patriots was all about his comfort level with the ownership. It was in flux right there and was going to go, could have gone in one direction, which it ended up at the Woody Johnson and that family, could have gone also with the Dolan family. If you're any kind of a sports fan that knows anything about New York sports, you know the Dolan family. They own the New York Knicks and all the dysfunction that's happened there. So maybe that was a situation where Bill Belichick, and at the time, trust me when I say he caught all kinds of heat there. There was a falling out as a result of that with him and Bill Parcells, but he had instincts to know, there's something not right here. I don't feel good about it. I'm going to go do something else that's right for me. And at the end of the day, if you're looking at Josh McDaniels, whatever he did, whatever decision he came to as it related to the Indianapolis Colts, whatever cold feet he got after agreeing to become their head coach, you got one life to live. And don't sit there and tell me that you've ever made a decision and then said, oh, I don't know if that was the right thing to do, and backed out. If you have not, you're probably a better person than me, because I know I've been in those kind of situations where you just regret it the moment you did it because maybe some other news came aboard, maybe some other information made available. Go ahead.
But to fans' points, maybe you just don't want that guy to be your coach, where you can say, that's all fine and dandy, that's all good and dandy, but just, hey, maybe take the best job that comes available if the Green Bay job comes available. I'm just saying fan base. The fans of this team just don't want him. So I'm just playing the devil's
Which
advocate
is fine.
As to just say,
yes.
That, where you can right. say like, it wasn't just who, the, maybe, because this could be a character thing. Let's say a regular person, you're going for your job resume. Oh, so you quit, you accepted the job. So what happened? Seems like if the going gets tough or if you don't like the way things are, you'll just leave.
Well, shouldn't we all have the right to do that?
Yeah, you have the right to do that, but why do I want to hire? Let's say
if you do your homework.
You're applying for the Review Journal and it's just like, man, you're on a tight, seems like, you're on a tight deadline. You're just going to up and leave the paper?
Well, yeah, that would look bad.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's part of the homework that you do. You know, you have to, it's on the Raiders.
Yes, it's on the Raiders.
To figure that all out.
That's why fans are skeptical.
And I get that. And my answer to that is they don't have all the information. So while they're skeptical, I get it. I totally understand it. But my hope for Raider Nation is if it goes down this path, 3-4 years down the road, they're going, why was I ever worried about that?
Yeah, if he
And
wins,
I've seen that happen so many times. Yeah,
that's every case. You
exactly.
know, like sometimes a coach comes in and nobody's throwing him a parade. But hey, if you like, hey, man, we got you the Super Bowl, you know?
Right.
Hey.
Right.
I'm sure in L.A., like you covered McVay, I'm sure some people are like, 31 years old, who is this kid?
I remember the former coach of the Rams. What was it?
Jeff Fisher.
No. Prior to that, it was the tail end of the greatest show on turf.
Dick Vermeil?
His successor.
Ooh,
he just came out and ripped that decision. Ripped that. There's some prominent writers who ripped that decision, saying that they got duped, that, you know, they fell in love with the young guy and just, you know, let reason out the window. And a lot of those guys look like idiots right now. So, but again, you have
Spagnuolo.
No. One more back, or maybe even two more back. It was the guy that replaced Dick
Marks.
Vermeil. Yes. Google Mike Martz and Sean McVay. And when you get it, read it back to me. This is a head coach who just felt like it was an idiotic move by the Rams. He's since redeemed himself and walked that whole thing back, but he had egg on his face about it. So, you know, like I said, it's on the Raiders to get to the bottom of what happened. And if they have any misgivings, they have the right to say, we don't feel good about it.
But quote a little bit. he's only a few months older than Goff, because this is when they were getting Goff as number one pick. They're hiring a buddy for Goff.
Right.
Is what he's saying. So, you know, it goes on and on. But
it was bad.
Yeah, he's ripping them.
Yeah. Though there were a lot worse things that he said in that whole thing. And everyone was like, what? So, anyway. It's fans are going to fan. And fans are going to, you know, they're going to look at the most. They're going to look at the worst blemish on the resume and kind of get fixated on that.
Because they, like you said earlier, where it's he's waiting for the perfect job because you know
the right situation. Yeah, there's no perfect.
Because there's no perfect job, but right. he's waiting on the right situation, and if it doesn't come along, maybe Bill's going to retire,
right?
And then he can just take it.
He's got leverage.
Yeah, he's got leverage. But who's to say if he Raiders go 8-9, another 8-2, 8-9 seasons, and it's just like, Bill Belichick has finally decided to step down. Who's to say he's not going to say, Robert.
It's definitely a risk he's taking now.
It's a risk that he's taking. Yeah. It sounds like he can just say, when Bill Belichick retires, hey, Mr. Kraft, can I have that job now?
Right.
And he'd be like, yeah, man. Yeah.
All the more reason I think that it shows a level of confidence in the Raiders from Josh McDaniels' part, and that's a good thing. Like if he's looking at this like, now that's intriguing. Now that's something that I would risk not being able to come back here and be the head coach, or just forget about ever being the head coach here and go right off into the sunset, with the Las Vegas Raiders. And you're getting him at a young enough age where if it all works out, if that's the direction it goes in, this could be his last best stop. You know what I'm saying? Like we talked about this yesterday with Lincoln. When you hire a coach, you're not thinking, it'll be 5 years and that's that. You're thinking this is going to be our coach for the next 10 years. You want it to work out and to succeed and have it be a Bill Belichick situation. It rarely happens like that. But that's what he would be thinking of too. And that's why I'm saying, as highly selective as he is, because trust me when I say, had he thrown his hat into any of those rings, they would be calling him. Every team, the Chicago Bears, the this, the that, he's that highly thought of in the NFL, in spite of what happened with the Colts and with the Denver Broncos. The fact that this is the job that he's really been showing some interest in probably bodes well for the Raiders. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line, A.B.A. Ivan Davis. How you doing? Whoa!
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing good. Are you at the races today?
Say that one more time. Oh, no, I'm outside. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good, brother.
Okay, I'll be really quick.
It's good,
there's one coaching candidate that everybody is not paying attention to. I think would be spectacular for the Raiders. You know what First Take is, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned this candidate on his show, and I don't really like him, but this one I do. And I'll give you a hint. Who's been to the AFC Championship 4 straight times as an offensive coordinator?
Who went to the AFC Championship game 4 straight times?
Has been an offensive coordinator.
And
including
been,
this year.
Including this year, offensive coordinator.
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy?
Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, listen. It's a tough one with Eric Bieniemy, all right? It is. Because there is a track. There's some blemishes, all right? There's some blemishes, and I'm sorry, but that's the case. And I'm a fan of the New York Mets, and we just lost our manager and general manager for stuff that they did before they got here that got uncovered, all right? I'm just saying that people are so much more careful nowadays. They are looking at everything that you did in your past. Just go look at it.
Chauncey Billups got hired by the Portland.
I know, and that caused a lot of Chauncey was one thing.
It's one day of bad.
It's been more than that. Just go look it up.
It's the press conference. You sweep it under the rug.
But what do you want me to do? Nobody wants to talk about it, but I'll talk about it. Any other reason? What possible reason could there be that Eric Bieniemy is not getting serious looks with all the success that he's had? You don't think that teams are a little bit reluctant about that?
I don't.
You don't? Okay, no. So then what's the reason?
I can't give you the reason.
Besides
the big R word in the room, I can't give you the reason. I don't think NFL owners care.
What?
No.
You don't think that? I'm just saying.
Do I think that NFL owners are the morality police?
No. I'm not saying that they are. Like, but after everything that's happened, go look at what happened with the Mets.
Up so much.
All right, I'm just saying though.
No, I've looked it up. We've had this conversation before.
I know,
but
you have to. Everybody's afraid to have that conversation. But
we've had it before. I'm not afraid to have. I just don't think that the conversation holds that much weight.
Okay, so then there's other reasons why he's interviewed and not gotten jobs.
If someone were to come out, we just I don't think that he had deserves that much credit. Like, I was like, I'm like, really.
It's never been anything like that.
I'm pounding the table like Mike McDaniels. People are like, Mike McDaniel doesn't cause the plays in San Francisco. But I'm saying, like, if it was one of those reasons where someone would say, no, I actually just think that Andy Reid's more. I'd believe that more than, oh, with that pass, that thing that he did back in 93.
There were multiple things. And I'm just saying, like, there's not any other. There can't be with the success that he's had. It's not because of the job that he's done, you know, or maybe he just doesn't interview. I don't know. And I don't want to go down that path either, because I don't think there's something conspicuous going on with him, period. And, it may ruffle some feathers, but I'm looking for the reasons why that hasn't been the case. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore. Brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM on a Thursday.
Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.